Blog Talk Radio.
But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. Today, we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Praise God. Praise God. At this time, I'd like to read our devotional message for this morning, which is entitled, Seek My Face. And my scripture reading for this devotional message is coming from Romans 8:6. where it says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Praise be to God. My second scripture reading is coming from Numbers 6:26 in the New King James Version. And it says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Praise God. And my third scripture reading is coming from Psalms 46:1-2. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title, Seek My Face, and you will find not only my presence, but also my peace. To receive my peace, you must change your grasping controlling stance to one of openness and trust. The only thing you can grasp without damaging your soul is my hand. Ask my spirit within you to order your day and control your thoughts. For the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. You can have as much of me and my peace as you want. Through thousands of correct choices each day, the most persistent choice you face is whether to trust me or to worry. You will never run out of things to worry about, but you can choose to trust me no matter what. I am an ever-present help in trouble. Trust me, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
you I want you to put your mind and your focus on the Spirit of God. Allow the Spirit to come into your heart.
Sing hallelujah. Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Messiah.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Messiah.
He's a sovereign God.
Amen. Praise be to God. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:24-25, in the New King James Version, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Praise be to God. The Bible also says in Romans 10:14-15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, I will play a short selection. After the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy.
Everybody, praise the Lord.
worship and praise. That's why we're here this morning, to worship and praise the Lord. Amen. My scripture reading for this message is coming from Mark chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 13 through 19. Amen. Mark 3, verses 13 through 19. Praise God. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, Jesus chooses the 12 disciples. Afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons. These are the 12 he chose: Simon, whom he named Peter, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, but Jesus nicknamed them sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. A popular hymn has placed words in our mouth as we think in terms of coming to Jesus Christ. The song is, a few words of the song says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. We can respond to the words of the poets by coming to Jesus just as we are, and by encouraging others to come just as they are. But we cannot come to Jesus and remain exactly as we are. He produces radical changes in those who come to him and experience his transforming presence. Jesus' transforming power is demonstrated most dramatically in the changes that came about in the disciples, who later became apostles in the days following Jesus' ascension. They were brave and courageous, proclaimers of a message that brought upon them the hostility of both political and religious leaders. Luke declared in Acts 4:13 in the RSV, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they wondered, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. An apostle must first be a disciple, and not all disciples become apostles. A disciple is a listener, a learner, a follower. 12 of Jesus' disciples became his apostles. The word translate apostle means one sent forth. Thus, an apostle was a representative of another who went on a mission. Apostles have some parallels with our modern ambassadors. In 1 Corinthians 12, Peter spoke of apostles as being the gifts of the Spirit to the church. We cannot limit this term to the original 12. Anyone who goes forth on a mission being led by the Holy Spirit is in reality an apostle with a message. Praise God. It is interesting in the account of the calling of the 12 that Jesus appointed them to be with him and to be sent out to preach. Experiencing the new birth is only a starting point. If we would become the servants, the helpers, the apostles of Jesus Christ, we must be with him. The disciples became apostles, the disciples who sincerely worshiped Jesus Christ and stayed with him, went forth to be his witnesses. Now, these 12 men, originally so helpless and so insignificant, became the helpers of Christ, of God, and of the church. These men who became known as apostles were originally receivers. They were self-seekers who had a vested interest in following Christ. But by being with him, they were changed into givers. They started their pilgrimage as reservoirs and ended their pilgrimage as streams or Austin wells. They went from being spectators to participants and eventually partners of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ calls us to be with him before he sends us out to be his blessing to others. Amen. The text for my message this evening is coming from Mark 3, 14 through 15 in the RSV. And it said, "And he appointed 12 to be with him and to be sent out to preach and have authority to cast out demons." Praise God. And my title for this message, The Call to Come and the Call to Go. Holy Father, we accept this day as the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. We bow down and worship before you. We rise up to praise you and go forth to proclaim your greatness and goodness to others. We come today bringing our tithes and offerings that we might not only invest in, but be involved in your redemptive work of sharing the good news of your love to all humankind. Bless this program this morning. Bless each one who gives to your work. Accept these gifts and bless them to honor your glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Today, my message is divided into two parts. Amen. Number one is the call. Jesus calls all to come. Now, he invites us to him that we might experience the cleansing of forgiveness. Through his death on the cross, Jesus dealt with our sin problem. He offers to us forgiveness that is free, full, and forever. Every person needs to be clean before God. John 1:11-12, he invites us to enter into a family relationship with God. No one likes to be an outsider. No one enjoys being alienated and experiencing loneliness. Jesus Christ came in order that all people might enter into God's family. He wants everyone to experience the sense of belonging that comes to those who are members of God's family. Amen. Praise God. In John 10:10, he invites us to come to him for fullness of life. Jesus intends that we experience something more than birth into God's family or enrollment in his school. He wants us to experience wholeness. Praise God. Number two, Jesus calls all to companionship. After inviting people to become believers and disciples, Jesus selected and called them into a companionship in which they might become apostles. We are to respond to him as Lord and teacher and shepherd and friend. Before the original disciples could become apostles, it was necessary that they be with him. Amen? Only by being with Jesus could the disciples get acquainted with God. Later, Jesus was to say in John 14:9 in the RSV, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus came to introduce God to the people and the people to God. He came to manifest the character and purpose of God. He wanted his disciples to be with him so they could truly become acquainted with God. It takes time to get acquainted with someone. We must listen to someone to get acquainted with him. We must carefully watch someone to get deeply acquainted with him. Now, these disciples desperately needed to get acquainted with the God whom Jesus Christ was revealing. To experience this acquaintance, they had to be with Jesus. How long have you been with Jesus? And to what degree are you watching and listening to God in order that you might come to a greater acquaintance with him? Only by being with Jesus can we learn how to live by faith. We have to learn to trust God. Many of us want to trust in ourselves or in circumstances. We want to walk by sight and common sense. Many of us want to plot our own course and then let God obey it. We want to jump off the cliff and depend on God to rescue us. Jesus teaches us that God is good and wise, that God is at work for good in all things, that he is always reliable, and that God does not always work according to a human timetable. Jesus use us, Jesus help us know that God will always show us what is right. Only by obeying, only by being with Jesus can we learn the way of love. Jesus wanted to teach his disciples to love God supremely and to love others with the same measure they love themselves. Most of us live self-centered, selfish lives. We confuse lust with love. Jesus taught and demonstrated the way of love. He always had a persistent, unbreakable spirit of goodwill toward others and an unflinching desire for constructive action on their behalf. The security and development of others was always uppermost in his mind. By his example, as well as by his teaching, Jesus showed his disciples what it meant to live by the principle of love. They could learn this only when they were with him. How much time do you spend with Jesus? Are you in the process of learning to live by the principles of love? Only by being with Jesus could his disciples learn the importance of absolute obedience. Jesus was obedient to his Father and sought at all times to carry out God's will in his life. Even to the point of dying on a cross, he sought to instill within his disciples the desire to so love God that they would always be obedient to his commands. For he knew that the evangelization of the world would be dependent on their obedience. When a person dies to self, he or she will be raised back to life again. This is a principle that remains true for us today. And my conclusion is, have you come to know Jesus Christ through the forgiveness of your sins? Have you come to know God as Father and his family as brothers and sisters? Have you spent time with Jesus in order that he might place his mark upon your mind and heart so that others can see his presence in your life? It was after considerable teaching and growth that in Acts 11 and 26 in the RSV says, the disciples were the first time called Christians. In Antioch, they became Christians as they let Jesus change them into his own image. God needs you. Others need what God can do through you. Determine that you will be with him so that he can make an apostle out of a disciple using your life as the raw material. I hope this message was a blessing to you as it was unto me. Amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time to take this prayer into consideration. All you have to say is, Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. And after the poetry, we will go into our communion service. Amen. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. How are you?
Blessed. Thank you. Praise God.
Amen. I enjoyed your message this morning.
Amen. I was trying to get it short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
I'll be reading a poem from my book, The Profundity of God, mm-hmm. a Spiritual Anthology of Poetry. And I know it's Black History Month, but I'm not going to read the one about Black History today.
Okay.
I'm going to read the one entitled, What Agony. Mm. My suffering is real, but Jesus, you died on Calvary. Despite the fact that I'm going through things, I cannot compare myself to what you went through for me. You suffered long, and you suffered hard. But that's just why you came. Oh, my God. They loved, then they hated you. Sometimes they believed. They wanted to kill you. Some in worship went down on their knees. They waited in expectation. They sought after you. Some even taught about you. But ultimately, they failed to believe that you came to save them and to save us strangers, too. They kissed, worshipped, believed, followed, and idolized you, Jesus. They kissed, identified, arrested, tried, lied about, beat, spat on, tortured, then finally crucified you, Jesus. How then can I even think that my suffering is anything? I dare not compare. Although it hurts, well, but it's nothing like what you went through. I know the pain and hurt of suffering, even sometimes felt crucified. But there's only one Jesus. Only one who, to save us, died and was crucified. He did it for me and for you. God sent his only begotten Son so that we may have the right to eternal life and an abundant one. If you stop, just think about it. Without Jesus, our life suffering would be insane. But we have Jesus. There's no need to be profane. So like the song I love to sing, I won't complain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each day and everything. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. That was beautiful.
Amen. Oh, God bless you.
Beautiful. Amen. So we want to thank Barbara Amore for that beautiful, beautiful poetry. And I think that deserves a hand clap praise. Amen.
Thank you so much.
So at this point, we are going to get ready to go into our communion service because it is the first Saturday of the new month. And I'm going to play a selection, and after the selection, our service will begin. We're running a little behind schedule, but God is good and all is well.
Amen. Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were.
What we like to call you, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
You
were born in a manger,
but on a tree you died to save man.
The Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you. Come on!
Praise be to God. Oh, God bless you, Pastor Kathy. Are you able to do the communion service this morning?
Yes, ma'am.
Praise God. Praise God. So now it is in your hands.
Amen. Bless the Lord. What a wonderful feeling to be back on the line, I'm telling you. I am so anxious to get into this communion and just love on God because Pastor Kathy has been beat up. Wow. I don't understand what's going on. But God knows.
God knows.
And it's not like I feel like one of those Job moments, though he slay me, yet will I, no, uh-uh. I'm feeling a Pastor Kathy on, oh, God, help me, Jesus. That's what I'm feeling like. But we're going to get into this communion. Y'all know how I feel about communion. It is my favorite time of the month. Amen. I heard Amen. The end of Sister Barbara's poem, and I'm telling you how befitting for right now. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful poem it was. I thank God for her. She keeps chucking along every single Saturday. God gives her something to tell us in the form of poetry. And there is a lot of meat in that. We thank God for her. She's right there to bring forth our poetry. Thank you, God. Oh, Father, we're going to get into this communion so we can really celebrate this day. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to have Sister Barbara to open us up in prayer, and then I'm going to read the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
And Amen. Sister Barbara, as you're praying, you're going to pray for both the body and the blood at the same time. Just pray for them both, and then I'm going to go right into the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, dear.
You're so welcome. Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again we assemble to honor the Lord's Supper, to give communion as we remember you. For your crucifixion, for your shedding of your blood, for your giving of your body, so that we may have the right to eternal life. Father God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, easing our minds, Father God, easing our spirits, giving us strength and encouraging us. Father God, I can't thank you enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough for what you've done, what you will do, and what you're doing right now. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. You took our punishment so that we might be able to live and be free and have salvation. So we thank you for your blood, Lord God. We thank you for your shed blood that covers all of us. We thank you for your body. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and bless each and every one of us that's on the line, that's ever been on the line, that's ever thought about coming on the line. We ask these blessings right now in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. We know that communion scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. And today I'm going to read from chapter 11, but I'm going to be reading from 17 through 26. I know we always just jump down and do verses 23 through 26, but I'm going to start at 17. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 26. In the following instructions, I have no praise to offer, because your gatherings do more harm than good. First of all, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. Verse 19, and indeed there must be differences among you to show which of you are approved. Now then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without sharing his meal, while one remains hungry, another gets drunk. Verse 22, don't you have your own homes in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What can I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? No, I will not. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. Here we go, 24 through 26. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And take the bread, break it. Let's eat. Thank you, God. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Take and drink. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. And the last verse says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body, which was broken for us. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you, God. Even on the days when we don't seem lovable, thank you, God. Father, we are so grateful. We are so grateful for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. But mostly, oh, God, that you took our place on that cross, oh, God, that was your body that was bruised for our iniquity. Those were your that was your body taking those stripes for our healing, oh God. Thank you. Father God, even now, none of us wants to carry our own cross. And it's not the same. We don't have the full understanding of what you're saying when you say, pick up your cross and follow me. That cross could be anything you cannot bear, anything that seems overwhelming. Pick it up and follow me. Go through whatever you got to go through to accomplish what our Father has sent us to accomplish.
Amen.
Follow me. Do what I did. I asked him if he could let this cup pass from before me, but he couldn't. And I said, nevertheless, let thy will be done. And
Amen.
We've got to do the same thing. We've got to go, God, nevertheless, let your will be done. And every opportunity that you allow us to still be here every month to do this in remembrance of you, that we won't take it lightly. We will shake it off, get up, and do it in remembrance of you, just to know how much anybody anybody could feel your love through this communion, oh God, for what you did for us on that cross. I am one of the ones. We are all so forever grateful.
Yes.
So forever grateful. We wouldn't do it for ourselves, more or less anybody else, but you did it for all of us.
Yes.
All of us.
Praise
all of us. And you were in a human body, so you felt that pain. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us the way you did. I tell you, I got up this morning. Thank you, God. I am so grateful for communion. It's been a week and a half. I don't know. I don't know what I did when I came home. I must have ate something that triggered my mouth and set my mouth on fire. And I'm like, oh, God, what is going on? Then I thought we was getting sick or cold. It was crazy. So I'm sitting there, and I can't talk because my lips are burning. The inside of my mouth is burning, and I'm going, what is going on? And I'm telling you, it was horrible. And every time the inside of my mouth would start burning, the outside would start itching. And I'm scratching, and I'm doing all this stuff. And it was killing me. I'm telling you, it was really killing me.
Sorry, do that.
But to have somebody say to me that it bothers them to see me sick and they don't want to come home, that really killed me. And I'm sitting here going, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on. Because I can't explain it. When I go to the doctor, they look in my mouth, they look all through it, and they don't see anything. They did all the tests, they say you're healthy or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But y'all, I'm telling you, my mouth is killing me. It's killing me. And I've often told my children, JJ and Corey, I said, you know what, guys? I got to stay wherever you two are. Because if anything happens to me, I know these two are going to make sure they're there to take care of mom. But when I was in Arizona, I realized the younger one, he's like me. He's kind of on the weak side. So if something goes wrong, you can rest assured he's going to go down with you. It's like, boy, I need you to get me to the hospital and get things, you know. But he's such a crybaby that... He'll panic, you know. And I said, oh God. And I told y'all the story. I was out in Arizona and I lost all this weight, and I got scared because I thought that I was on death row. I said, oh God, look at my neck. What is going on? And so my son goes, Mom, you haven't been able to eat your mouth. I go, oh no, I ain't gonna die in Arizona with nobody around. So I came back to the East Coast because I'm thinking the older son, not a younger one, he'll prophesy in a minute. You know, he can come up with prophecy. And I'm going, thank you, God, because you know what? When God says, train up a child in the way they should go, and I allowed those two little fellas to church every chance I got, and I made sure that they heard the word of God, they understood, they knew of it, and they both got baptized on their own. I did it when they were babies. They did it for themselves, right?
Yeah.
And so they were baptized. And so I get around the oldest one because I'm thinking, he's going to have a level head, and he's going to do what needs to be done if something happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this dream last week, and I'll share the dream with y'all. I don't know. Y'all see what you feel. I had a dream, and I was there with a pastor and his wife, you know, friends of mine from the old church. And inside the dream, they were there with some other people. We kind of was in a circle. And so the pastor says, let me get some KFC. We need some chicken. So he gets the chicken, and he got a whole bucket of chicken, and he shared it with everybody. But he's sharing it like he don't really want to share it. So when he got to me, he's like, do you want a piece? And I said, no, I come with mine. And I opened up my purse and I took my chicken out and I started eating it. And so we all sitting there talking kind of in a circle, and we're talking and eating chicken, whatever. And this cat comes out of nowhere, and he stood up in front of me, and he looked at me. And when he looked at me, I could see he was blind. And so I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and I'm thinking, all these people talking and everything. And then, you know, I was amazed because I didn't know cats could stand up. Which goes to show what I know, right? The little cat stands up in front of me, and he looks at me, and I'm looking at his eyes like you could see he was blind because his eyes were like a blind person's. And so I'm going, all these people in the room, what's he doing? And then after he stands up in front of me, he reaches his hand upward towards me. And so I'm looking at him, and I guess I was getting ready to freak out because I went straight back to sleep. And I was visiting with my oldest son, Stephen, and I were, and I was telling them, everybody in the room, I was telling them to see who got anything in the spirit. Don't manufacture something. If you feel it, you feel it. If you don't, you don't. And so my oldest son was going, hold on. And so I like, please, you know, because we all talking laughing. And I said, I didn't even know cats could stand up. But it was crazy because the cat was blind. And my son was in the corner going, hold on, wait. So the cat came to you. And then that. Now I'm focusing on the chicken, everything that's going on. He's focusing on the cat. So he said, the cat comes in. He stands up, looks at you, and he's lying. And he goes, wait a minute. So then finally I stopped talking to hear what he was going to say. And he looks at me and he said, the cat is you. I said, the cat is me. He said, the cat is you because you know everybody calls you cat. So the cat is symbolic of being you. And the fact that the cat was blind is God showing you that you're blind to what, oh, my God, right in, I just lost it in my mind. I was like, oh, my goodness. And anybody that ever been to my house, I had little cats all over my house because everybody calls me cat. And as he was saying that thing was just, ooh, it was just, my spirit was receiving it. He said, the cat is you, and God is showing you that you're blind for what he's handing you. Oh, my God, I was just losing it. I said, what is going on? And I could see. You know how you standing with somebody and you can see when they cross over into the spirit realm and they're no longer just talking, now the spirit of God is on there. I could see when he crossed over. He was so far in the spirit that when he was talking about his job, he was still in the spirit because then he starts crying. And I'm like, okay, this dude done crossed over. So I go to him and I hug him because when I tell you, he's had a load on his shoulders. He has had a load on his shoulders trying to take care of his wife and his three kids. This dude was on the road driving, and I hope you guys don't mind me giving you this little testimony real quick.
No.
This dude was on the road driving from East Coast to West Coast, North, South. He was driving on a truck all over the place by himself, and I think it was an 18-wheeler. I told him it was a 32. He said, Mom, there's no 32 wheels. I said, it looked like 32 wheels to me. He goes, Mom, it's an 18-wheeler. So anyway, there was a lot of times I would call him, and I could hear his loneliness being on that road, right? And I would talk to him and joke with him and try to cheer him up, you know. And then I said, okay, let me let you go because you're on the road. He said, okay, so I'm laughing, joking with him, but I could hear the loneliness. And he was not telling me everything that he's gone through. There were times when he was coming down into what he calls a tunnel. And in the tunnel, you can't see anything, and that's why it's a tunnel, because you're coming down, you're going downhill or something. And he said, Mom, there was nobody on the road, just me and this big old truck. And I'm trying to go down slow because there was snow out there. And I was like, oh my God. So he comes down, and he's telling me all these stories. Then he said there was a car one time that was following him. He was looking in the mirror going, okay, that car's following me. And there was no other cars around. And I said, it's funny that most of the time when he was on the road, where he went in those areas, there was nobody but him and God. Nobody but him and God. He had no other choice but to call on the name of Jesus. Exactly. But this one night, the car is following him. And so he's looking through his mirror, and he's licensed to carry a gun because of what he does. And so, you know, he gets to, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm glad he didn't tell me all this stuff. And so when he pulls over, the guy gets out the car and comes over, and he's knocking on the window. And so my son said, he rolls the window down, and he's looking at the dude. He said, I just want to say thank you for everything you do. Thank you. And my son is looking at him. He said, I wanted to offer you some dinner. And he gave my son a McDonald's bag. And my son said, well, you could tell he just got it because it was smelling real good, too. So he took the bag, and you know, he's telling you all these stories. And my thing is, he recognized that that was God with him on that road. And so the night when he was, after he finished interpreting my dream and he was telling about his job, now he's crying. The Spirit of God allowed him to release like he had never released before. So he's releasing. He's, you know, he's crying and everything. And so he's wiping his eyes and he's crying. And I'm going, son, you don't know, the happiest moment for me was when you told me the moving company, the movies, you know, he works on production, doing all these movies with actresses and all of that. He's like a stage manager, so getting props, driving all the actresses around, actors. And so I said, that was the best thing that could have ever happened to me, to hear you say they wanted you to come back. They were starting up again, and you were getting out there. I was so happy. I said, oh, he survived that truck, and thank God he don't have to go on the road anymore. So that's what happened. But then when I get home, my lift is running, and I think it was because I ate something spicy. I don't know. But I have to share this with you guys, and don't take it in a negative way. Just hear for what it is. My husband didn't come home last night, and, you know, it was like he told me he was going to be a half an hour late. He's got to stay away at work. I said, okay. Well, a couple of hours passed, and I'm like, oh, God, what's going on? Where is he? So I called him, and he didn't answer. I called again. He didn't. I called about four or five times. He didn't answer. And I said, okay, here we go. You know, because I ain't no fool when a man don't answer the phone. Your mind gets to wandering. So instead of getting here like 5:30 or 6 or 6:30, he got here after 9. And I was upset. And I was like, oh, God, I'm not going to do this. You know, I'm already stressed out, and I don't even know why I'm stressed out, because my mouth won't heal. And so, you know, they're saying it's still anxiety, and I'm going, but I'm not anxious about it. I don't know. Any little thing I think is coming straight through my lips.
Subconsciously, so like, you are.
Yeah, I didn't even know it. So I'm trying to stay calm. I don't want to think nothing. I'm just, you know, and I know I've been thinking about my family. I've been thinking about everybody. Because I've been texting everybody saying, I sure miss my family. But, you know, they get on this mission and nobody wants to talk to each other. And I'm going, oh, God, what is going on? You know, so that, you know, but I'm not thinking that I'm stressed out. I'm just thinking a lot's going on, you know, but I'm not stressed out about it.
Yes,
so he tells me, my husband tells me that I am too controlling. And I went, what? And I said, I'm not trying to control anybody. He says, yeah, that's why I left and went wherever he went. I do know he didn't go where he said he went, because I could feel that in my spirit. But anyway, so I'm sitting there going, I'm controlling? Oh, my God. Now I got all these thoughts, and y'all got to see me last night. I'm sitting there with him telling me this stuff, and I'm going, I'm trying to stay calm because at home, Alyssa hurts. And I'm going, I got to get on her communion. I can't get upset. Next thing I know, I'm running through the house yelling and screaming. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. Then I cussed. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. I was just so through. And the reason why I'm telling y'all, because I'm so broke down and I don't understand what is going on. And so he said he didn't want to come home and look at me because I was sick, and I was sick all week. He said, I just didn't want to look at my wife all sick and scratching like death or something. I don't know how he said it. And I went, wow, thank God I can take care of myself and I can take a bath and I can do everything. You know, the only thing is that my chin itches and the inside of my mouth burns really bad. And I, in order to talk on this phone right now, I had to go put some oral gel on my gums so that I could numb it so I could talk because I have to get on for communion. You know, because the life has been, I haven't been on the radio in about a week or so, a week and a half, and it has been killing me because it's sucking the life out of me. That's where I get my life. That's my oxygen, you know, when I'm in church. And when I say in church, I mean on Block Talk Radio, you know, just preaching and getting on Zoom. That's my oxygen, anything to do with God. And God knows. I don't care who likes it. I don't apologize for it. I don't love anything more than I love God. And if I go maybe once, okay, if you see me going 1, 2, 3, 4 times, not getting on, not preaching, oh, something is wrong. And so I sat there on Thursday. I said, okay, God, you gave me an awesome word. I can get on. And my list was burning. And I put the oil gel. And my list is swollen. I said, what is, So I couldn't get on asking y'all. And I'm going to give y'all a moment to pray for me before I get off this line. And the reason being is because it hurt me. I don't want to control anybody. I really don't. But it hurt me to hear that my lips and everything was the reason that my husband told me he didn't want to come home. Because he didn't want to see me itching and all of that. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I have an uncle, and y'all, thank you for your patience to let me get all this out. I have an uncle from the island because my father is West Indian. No, he was West Indian. And so I have an uncle from the island, and we went to his 89th birthday. We went to his 89th birthday because he's in Georgia. And so we were there in Georgia, and so we went to his birthday. And my cousin said to me, Uncle wants you to be there, Kathy. I said, you know I'm going to be there. So we got there. Uncle says to me, he says, you know, I've been with that woman in there. He's talking about Aunt Agatha. He says, I've been with her for 30 years. Excuse me. He's been with her 40 years, I think, and 30 of them, she's been paralyzed. She cannot move. She cannot bathe herself. She cannot feed us. She cannot do anything. All she can do is smile. Mm-hmm. She can smile or she can cry. She's paralyzed from the neck on down. He said, of the 40 years, 30 of those years, she's been like she is now, paralyzed. And I went, whoa, wow, that's a whole lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you that he demands his kids respect her, love her, when they first get there and they come and seek them, he goes, go and talk to mommy. Because they're getting ready to sit down and eat it. No, go talk to mommy.
Mm.
Acknowledge her.
Yes,
you know,
right.
And he said the same thing to me and Stephen. He says to me, he said, go talk to Aunt Agatha. I said, okay. He said, Stephen, I would let you go, but she don't know you. She may not feel comfortable with a man coming in there. So I went in there, and she gets to smiling. I know why she's smiling, because she always saying, you know, she has that look on her face like, you look just like your father. You look like your father, you know. And I start laughing. I said, you think I look like a father, right? And she'll get to laughing. I said, okay, couldn't look like somebody else, right? Couldn't have been cuter or something. And she'll start laughing. I'm just trying to make jokes with her. And
yeah.
So it does my heart, y'all don't even know, to hear that man stay by that woman's side for 30 years. He couldn't sleep with her. He couldn't really do nothing but kiss on her forehead or something. And he's bathing her. And he's dressing her, and he's combing her hair. 30 years he did that. And to hear her husband say he didn't want to come home after a week because I was scratching my chin. And what happened to me this past week, I was so zapped. When I tell you, I can't sleep at night. So in the morning, I'm trying to sleep. And so I'm sleeping through half the day because I can't sleep at night. I'm tossing, turning, scratching. And I looked up something last night, because after he told me that,
mm-hmm.
I said, thank you, God. Because, you know, even though something is negative, God could use it to push you where you need to be.
That's right.
That pushed me. That mm-hmm. pushed me. Because I said, you don't ever have to worry. That's why I get close to JJ and Corey, because I'm saying, if anything happens to me, y'all the ones that got to take care of me. So just know, in case I can't say it again and I get caught and I can't talk, two of the ones. And to hear him say that after a week, seeing me scratching and itching, it made him not want to come home. That thing hurt my heart. And I said, if I was laying in bed and I couldn't take care of myself, you wouldn't come home? And so I've been in a bad way. I'm sharing this with you guys because I need prayer. Mm. The past week and a half, I've been in a real bad way because I didn't understand why my energy was that. I mean, I'm walking and I'm going, what is going on? And then there's days I'm trying to go up and down stairs and I'll get a little dizzy and I'm going, what is going on? And so, you know, I was feeling all crazy. I said, God, what is this? You know? So I'm thinking about how my son interpreted that dream, saying that I was too blind to see what God has before me. And I'm going, well, what is it? Because I'm kind of broke down. I'm really broke down, you know. And then you get all these jobs. No, 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 no. You're not the chosen one. No, 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 no. And I'm going, really, God? You got something in front of me? Okay. And so, you know, this past week and a half, and I think that, not that the jobs wasn't responding away, I think because I wouldn't go outside, I just stay in the house, because I'm so dang on tired. And I'm going, what is it? I don't even have the strength to get up. And I, you know, I start thinking about some of the people in my old job, saying, if you don't sit down, because I walk up and down all day. So last night I was looking. I said, God, you got to help me. You got to help me. I got to snap out of it. Because after he said what he said, I said, wow. And it's only been a week. He's just watching me scratch my mouth and everything. And he said, I don't want to look at my wife, you know, with no energy. Now, mind you now, I still was cooking dinner because I know he hates when he comes home. And there's no dinner. So this past week I was cooking dinner. But I couldn't stop scratching him. I was running so bad, and I didn't have any energy. And I'm going, oh, what is going on? So last night I was sitting here, and I was trying to keep myself calm because I didn't want to get any more excited. And I said, Lord, we already know anxiety just doing me in right now, and my lips and everything. So I sat there, and I looked. And they had this commercial on electrolytes. And if you don't have enough electrolytes or something, it lowers your ability to fight off anxiety. I said, what? And I thought about the nurse at my job in Arizona. She wrote me a packet of something that had electrolytes in it. She told me to put this in my water because I need it because it was so hot out there. And she said, and that could be causing all of this anxiety and all this. So last night I'm looking at that. So, of course, I went and got on Google to see if the electrolytes can really affect your level of anxiety. And it says if you're low on electrolytes, which is potassium, chlorine, and something else, then, yeah, you have no fight against anxiety. And I went, whoa. Then they said if you take a banana, if your potassium is real low, take a banana, it'll boost it up. And all these things I was reading. And I went, what in the world? So I look at electrolytes. Electrolytes will zap your energy. I said, oh, my God. And, they're showing you how do you know when your electrolytes or whatever the thing is low. And so I'm looking going, wow, huh. Wow, all this could be going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said there could be some tingling, and the tingling that I'm feeling is in my lip and my mouth. And so I'm going, Lord, this is too much. So last night, I couldn't sleep because I was already through when he didn't come home. And then when he did come home, it was like no big deal. And then, when it's something like that, somehow everybody tends to turn it to the person that's upset rather than accept what they've done. And so he said, I'm controlling and I'm this and that. And I went, wow. And in my mind, I'm going, if I am controlling, you will never have to worry about that again because I won't try to control you. And then he says that I didn't want to come home to see my wife scratching and itching and no energy or whatever he was saying. And I went, imagine if I was laying in the bed, couldn't move. You wouldn't come home. And I thought about Uncle Edwin, who for 30 years kept going home, kept taking care of his wife. And I'm saying, that was then. Nowadays, no one really wants to do that. Men or women, they don't want to. If you find it, it's so rare that it seems like it doesn't exist. There are some out there that would do it, And I thought, wow. And it bothered me so bad. So I couldn't sleep last night, so I was watching gospel movies on my phone all night. And then I was so tired, and I said, I got to get an hour of sleep because I got to get on this communion. I got to take communion, right, because that's my oxygen. So I got up this morning, and I went in there, and I went in the living room, and I was listening to T.D. Jakes and everybody, and I went, whoa. And then I heard Joel Osteen say, you want to not hear from God, give up the fight. You will always hear from God if you stay in the game. If you continue to fight, to press on, God will be right there with you. But when you give up and you just accept what is happening to you and you say, I ain't got no fight left.
That's
and
it.
He said, well, when you weak, God will be your strength.
Yes, he
and
is.
And he was saying all that stuff.
Yes,
so I
is.
Said, you right, Joel. Let me get up. Do what I got to do. Take this communion. Start this week over. Do what I got to do. Because you know what? I will never sit myself in a place where I got to hear somebody saying they don't want to come home because they don't want to see me sick. Wow. Okay. So I got on the phone, I got the item, and I got on the phone. And it's funny because I was unpacking something, and I saw the communion cup. I said, yay, because usually I got to get a cup and then pray over it so I could use it. So I found the communion cup. But I tell you, this past week and a half, and it's when I came from Arizona, I got 85% better. But I'm like, what is going on with lips and everything? And you know what? After my son interpreted that thing after he interpreted, and I'm sorry I took the whole time to talk about me. I just had to get this out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sometimes
after my son,
we gotta do what we gotta do, you know.
Thank
or
you. Sometimes y'all don't even know.
You have so much bottled up inside of you that if you don't release it, you're really gonna explode. So this is why it's called Talk in the Sanctuary.
And this is one of the reasons why I had to. I said, God, I got to get this out, because if I don't, I'm going to be in worse condition, because then when this starts swelling, I'm going, oh, God, I got to release it. So when my son interpreted the dream, that night when I went to bed, all of a sudden I could feel the pain lifted off of my lips. And I went, whoa, this is awesome. Wait till I get up in the morning. I'm going to be talking and da-da-da. And, oh, it felt so good. And when I got up in the morning, it was right back on my lips. And I went, what happened? And then I realized God was saying, when I'm ready to lift it, I will lift it. So that made me feel good, because I felt like, don't know when, but he's going to lift it. And so now my prayer is, Lord, what is it that I haven't done? Or what is it that I'm doing that it's not been lifted, so that I can get it right, so it can be lifted? But, you know, I don't consider myself a bad person. You know,
no,
like anybody else, I am not perfect, but
nobody.
I don't consider myself a bad person. But when I hear all these things, and I'm going, what? Wow. You know, and on my birthday last year, I was arguing with my sisters, and oh, it was crazy. And so now I'm like, what is going on? What kind of person am I? And how am I going to preach? And, you know, I just went through the whole ordeal, and I just need prayer. That's all. Because I'm tired. And right now, my lips are burning because the oil gel is wearing off.
Yes.
And so I can feel it trying to creep in there. And I'm going, okay. So I told the doctor, I said, I think it's nerve damage from the sun. And part of it is nerve damage. The other part was that I didn't have enough vitamins in me. So I started taking the vitamins. But in the past week, I wasn't taking them regularly, but... No, back to taking them, but trust you me, the last thing I want to do is pretend that I'm sick. When I don't get on to preach, you know something is wrong, because I'm telling you, my lips was like, oh, and the sad part is you don't know how your nervous system works until something goes wrong. When I walk, I can feel the pressure on my lips. If I sit down, I said, oh, my God, I didn't even know you could feel all this in your lip. So I can't walk that hard because I can feel it all in my lips. You know, if I'm walking, I can feel that tingling in my lips. So every little thing agitates it.
Your nerves.
And so I'm going, okay, I have to call this doctor because this nerves or whatever, well, I'm going to go and get me some electrolytes, the water that has the electrolytes in it.
Yeah, my daughter takes those.
Really? Does it help her?
Hello, she's walking again with prayer.
Oh, my God.
From all the prayers, I had everybody that I know praying for her. And then I told her, because she wasn't taking vitamins either. So vitamins... eating properly, drinking plenty of water, and put the electrolytes inside of the water, and with the help from the doctors and them, she is back almost. She's able to walk by herself with the walker. And she starts her therapy on Monday. So she's getting back to, I said, listen, God bless you to get as far as you are right now. Don't you dare turn around.
I think that with your daughter, I know I haven't been around my niece that much, but I still believe 65% of that was God. He needed to get her attention.
You say 65%, I'd say 75%.
Well, yeah, and so now, you know, that she can appreciate that he's allowing her to walk again, electrolytes, all that stuff, it helped. But well, trust you, honey, that was God's hand on that child.
Yeah, they were giving.
And she was the miracle baby too.
Injections. Yeah. That's
my God. But anyway, I'm praying. I'm gonna go for a walk later. I haven't been outside. I've been so tired, you know.
How is the weather where you at? Because it's cold as crap over here.
Well, even if it's cold, as long as it's not raining or anything like that, if the sun is shining, cold or not, you can put on your gloves, your hat, your scarf.
That's true.
It's just getting some fresh air, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just.
But we will keep both of you in prayer.
You know, I thought that called me to preach. I really thought God called me to preach. I can't even explain how I feel it. I was about to preach it. Oh my God.
Yes.
Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm wonderful, and everybody on the line. I just listen. There's always two sides to every story, and I want to clarify right now before God that what she said I did last night. It was I did say that, but that wasn't in the context that she took it in. I want everybody to understand on this line right now today. I do love my wife. I do care about her and do anything for her. This is the reason when the partner is down, the other one can't let the one that's down see you broke down because you'll both be broke down.
Absolutely.
I told her I was out with an older guy that I went with at the church, and that's where I was just to talk, just to laugh because. We don't, this thing with her mouth is so, it's just overtaking our whole mind, spirit, and body that, listen, it's been almost over a year that I watched my wife rub her mouth, rub her chin, and I catch myself, I haven't been around it so much that I do it now. And there's nothing wrong with my lips. But listen, if I didn't care nothing about this woman, I'm the one that we've moved four times and I've had to pick up, load the truck, pack it up, pack the house up, load it up, and unload it. Listen,
amen.
And I ain't trying to toot my horn or nothing.
Amen. Okay.
Anything that this woman wants, she can get. Like I told her, you got to listen to the head of the household. You can't have two heads because it won't never work. Listen, and like I told her, listen, this is what's wrong with you. This is what you need to do. We're not old. We're not young like we used to. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, I know God can heal because he has the gift of healing in me. But he gives us common sense to say, listen, God, send me to the right person with the right medication to give me.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a people, we don't believe. We've destroyed our bodies with whatever. Because the body is supposed to be created to heal itself. But we've got so much, all of these chemicals and stuff in our bodies, the body can't heal itself like it did years and years ago. So
that's
we
true.
Have to have some kind of substitutes to do that.
Amen.
But I cannot be the head of this household and tell you, okay, listen, let's go for a walk. Let's do this. And even though you're feeling bad, come, let's go do this. And you don't want to do it. We're grown. We're two grown individuals. Everybody is grown. If you don't want to do it, then how? You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody going to twist your arm and make you do it.
Right.
Listen, okay. I took care of my mama, and I know what it is to take care of a woman, and I can do it. I have done it.
Okay.
And I will take care of my wife, and I will continue to do it. But like I say, it's always two sides to a story. And I ain't trying to make my side sound better. This is talking the sanctuary, but I want some people to realize, listen, I've been with this woman all this time, and I did things I ain't never tried to do. Through the faith of God and who I believe in, that's what's kept me here. Kept me, because listen, all of it ain't been all common sense and all cut and dry and all it. It hasn't been. Have I been perfect in my walk with God? No, I haven't. Because things that I allowed come into this relationship, you know, caused friction. But we ought to be able to forgive and forget and go on, because if not, we need to doggone one go this way and the other, go the other way. But I don't see it like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't.
Okay. So I hate to cut you off.
Pastor Kathy, listen, what you took in context of last night, I'm saying, being the head,
I took it the way you said it.
Being the head of this household, listen, I watch, I try to tell you, come out, open the blinds up in the house. Who sits in the dark? Listen, you're in a place and I'm trying to pull you out of it. I'm trying to let the God in me bleed into you, because you're not there yet. You can put yourself out of it, but you still need some other elements around you to bring you totally out. So you can't keep putting it on. You can't keep putting it on the other.
Have you guys heard about the electrolytes? Well, you told me it works, Hakeisha, so I'm going to get me some today. I'm going to take a walk today. I'm going to get out of the house, and then all next week, I'm believing God that things are going to get better. My older son, he's checking on some things with some friends of his or his dad or whatever, because I need some medicine, because I'm telling you, my lips, they hurt me like you wouldn't believe. And so, you know, my prayer is that, and I want you guys to pray for me and trust and believe, there's always two sides to every story. Always. What happened to me last night, I had to release, because I don't want to sit here and hold all this in. That's all. And even though, you know, it was said to me and I took it out of context, no, I took it as it was said. So I don't know. But anyway, y'all pray for me that the medicine, I'm going to get the electrolyte, and I'm going to get, it says I need more vegetables, some potassium. I've been taking the V12 and the one a day. But my thing is, I believe in my heart that God has called me to preach. And I don't know what is this that I'm going through, you know? And I'm not one of those people that look at what other people are doing and go, well, they doing this and they doing that, and how come ain't nothing happening to them? I'm not going to do it, because I've seen in the Bible where Job and all the rest of them, Joseph, all of them, they were minding their own business and loving on the Lord, and they got zapped before they got left. So, you know, but y'all pray for me that I need my mouth. I really do. And I'll take the electrolytes and some other things that said I needed. I'm going to take bananas, because that helps with the potassium. But I can only eat bananas once or twice a week, because bananas have a way of putting weight on you, too. So
you could get potassium also from orange juice. You could
really?
But you can't drink the juice, because, you know, it will burn your mouth.
Then you get the
more
acid.
Eggs.
Yeah. Huh. Well,
they have one that they have a low acid orange juice.
Okay, I'll get that. If it has potassium in it, because I don't want to eat too many bananas. and I know I haven't been eating right. And it also says that if the electrolytes are low, it'll keep you constipated too. And I was thinking there was something wrong with me. No, the electrolytes. So I'm like, oh, God. Well, that's really
What did the doctor tell you to take? That's what you have to keep in mind. What did he tell you?
Never
mind all this Google stuff. What did the doctor tell you to take?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. No, she told me to go to the dermatologist so they can give me some cream for my skin to stop the itching. That's
right.
It. She ran all these tests. She did the colonoscopy, all of this. And she says, okay, everything is good. See you next year. You are good. And I'm going, what about the thing in my house? She says, when you go to the dermatologist, they're going to give you some cream. No. You know, and so I'm going to go back there and tell her, what can I take for anxiety? But my thing is, I'm not going to be on pills. You know, just give me some vitamins or something, because up until a year ago, I wasn't taking pills at all. I wasn't even taking vitamins. But now I know
I
need to take them. So.
You're getting older. The body is not as young as it used to be. When you get older, all kinds of things happen to you. It's out of
your control. Also, that's when I started taking the vitamins. I have started.
I beg you, Taylor, listen to this, and people never realize it, and even with myself. When we're in our younger years, we're doing and eating all kinds of stuff and whatever, but because we never think that we're going to get older.
Right.
And when we do get older, the things that we did and put in our bodies back then has an effect on that stuff that's supposed to be already in your body to heal your body and stuff. It's not there anymore. Some stuff won't produce anymore like it did when we were in our 20s and 30s. That's why that you have these natural vitamins that will recreate. It won't make it exactly right, but it'll recreate some of these cells and things inside of your body that keeps healing. It does. I mean, I love the Lord too, but there's no possible way that we can be here on earth and our body will heal ourselves through prayer and fasting. Yes, it will to a certain extent. That's a fact. But you got to have all of it in a moderation, all of it together.
That's why he
had
doctors and knowledge to create medicine and stuff to heal the body, because God knows what's going to happen to the body.
So I'm going to go and see what she tells me I need to take this week. But is Sister Barbara still on the line?
Yes, she is.
Yes, I am. I want to say something too before you leave.
Okay, and I wanted to have you pray for me and your angel Hilda pray for me too. Go ahead, Sister Barbara, you can say it.
Okay, Pastor Stephen finished?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay.
No, he's finished.
I just wanted to say that in all of that that's being done, I kind of agree with what Pastor Stephen has said, in that sometimes we have to stop. Stop trying to help God, okay? Stop with the this and the that and the rubbing on this and the... Stop. Allow him to heal you without your assistance, you know? Just give it to me. Give it, say, 2 to 3 weeks without doing any extra. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't. What's the extra? Scratch on my face?
I said without any extra. Don't put anything on it.
Oh, okay.
Other than brushing teeth and, you know, rinsing your mouth, if that's what you do. But if you're using Listerine, that might be irritating. That might be an irritant also, so we're not going to use that right now. But I'm saying, don't put anything on your mouth, lips, or whatever to help God. Let God do it. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need your help. And you're searching for this and you're searching for that. And
okay, well, that's not what Pastor Stephen was saying. He is saying that,
well,
we trust God, but we need to get other things too.
This is what I heard. I'm not here to argue with you. Okay, I'm just trying to say, let go and let God. Do nothing.
All right, I'm
going to
do it for a week. I'm not going to put nothing on it. I'm not going to put nothing on it and see what happens.
Right. I would say 2 weeks. Do it for 2 weeks and see what the healing process is. And let me know. Let us know, okay?
Well, I can't eat spicy food anymore. I know that.
Well, right. So, will you die because you don't have spicy food?
I had some last week, yeah.
Oh, man. If you know that, why would it? It doesn't
no,
matter
I ate
right
some,
away.
Listen, I'm
going to
bring
America
it
up. America sausage.
This is you're not helping it. If you know it's not supposed to help
Thank
you.
Thank
you. Why do Okay? Heavenly Father, it's wonderful and again, we come to you. You of your humble servants. We want to thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us a mind state on you, Father God. We just want to thank you right now for everybody that's on the line, those whose voices we hear, those who are on the internet that we don't hear. But we want to encourage Pastor Kathy right now. We know that she's going through. She's revealed things that we wouldn't have known otherwise. So we just pray for her, Lord God. Guide her. Strengthen her. Give her the courage to go through what you have laid on her. We know that it's not easy. I can't even imagine the situation. She uses her mouth. She's a preacher. And it's not a matter of, I think I was called. She is called. She preaches. She gives your word. She encourages us. She just relays what it is that you've laid on her heart. So we know she's a preacher. She knows she's a preacher. So let's stop it. But, Lord, I just want you to heal her. Heal her. It's in your timing. We know that. We know that all things work together for good, Lord. And we know that it will be done. So we just want to give her patience. Don't try to help you. We know you can do all things, and you do all things well. You don't need our help. So stop, Pastor Kathy. Stop trying to help God. Let him do it. He knows what he's doing. So I just want to say bless everybody on the line. Give us strength and courage to wait and see what the Lord is going to do. But he's able. And he keeps on doing great things. And whatever you're going through, you're going to go through it.
Yeah.
You're going to go through it. And in God's timing,
Amen.
It's going to be healed. Amen. So please, I mean, yes, see the doctors, all of that. But don't help the doctors. And by all means, don't help God, because you can't. Can't help
her. But you do help the doctor.
Again,
when you go there, you got to tell the doctor what's wrong. And then,
right.
You know?
I'm still saying.
Okay.
I love
okay.
you. I'm saying this in Jesus' mighty name, God. I pray that all is well and it's well received and blessed right now, God. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm also praying that God will show me. I don't know if it's something I'm supposed to be doing or, well, something that I'm not supposed to be doing. I'm one of those people that I won't take medicine for a long time and I'll wait on God. But this time it was just so irritating in Arizona and stuff and the heat. So, but I can sit there and not take medicine. It doesn't bother me not to take medicine. It really doesn't.
I can take medicine.
There.
If the doctor
no,
prescribed
I mean,
it, then take
no,
the medicine.
No, they didn't prescribe anything. What she prescribed when I went there was something for allergy.
Mm-hmm.
It's what she gave me, some pills for allergy. And I went, okay, so I took them for 7 days, and I'm going, okay, what's going on? Is it an allergy or not? But it's still there. But I'm going to calm down and just let God do it because I need to get
and believe that he can do it because he can. But you got to get out of his way. He can't do it if you're going to help him. He won't do it if you're going to help him. You're interfering.
So right? You don't think the electrolytes will help me?
I said don't do nothing. Did God say
okay,
electrolytes?
Okay. Huh? No.
Did God say that?
No, I've seen it on Google. No, I've seen it on Google.
Let him do it. Give him a minute to do what he's going to do. And if you can't wait but a week, then wait a week. But see if there's a change in the week. All right?
No, I can do it. Yes, thank you. I will. I can
will
wait.
You do it? I know you can do it, but the deal is will you do it?
I will do it. I will do it because I want
to do nothing.
Don't do nothing.
And maybe go out and walk with your husband and get some sunshine on your lips.
Yeah, that sunshine caused the lips to go wacky in the first place. But I am going to go outside because I need some fresh air. And I'll take a walk and see if everything.
Get some fresh air. You may not, get the sunshine on your lips. But get some fresh air. That'll make you feel better. Sunshine, we need that vitamin D.
Exactly. You don't take vitamin D either?
Huh?
You don't take vitamin D?
Take the one-a-day vitamins and V12 and the gummy vitamins.
You need to take vitamin D because when you can't, if the sun is causing the problem, then if you take the pill, then you're still getting the vitamins, but without the sun. I take
right now she's not going to add anything to her regimen. She's going to let go and let God.
Right now, I
got to
let go.
And
right.
She is
I'm just going to let go.
Get older, the doctor prescribes vitamin D, D3. But
yep.
She's not going to add that right now.
No, right.
I'm going to get it from Nate.
And can I say something? Can I say this one last thing?
Thank you.
And we all say it. We all say it all the time. It says in the Bible, cast your cares upon him because we can carry that cross. In our minds, we should turn like we was talking about. You got to turn it over because your mind, if your mind won't let it go, surely your body is not. Because wherever your mind going, you hear it go, your body going to follow. And I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. I hate to cut us off, but it's asking the time. And I don't want her to get charged for it. But Evangelist Hilda, I am so grateful to God that Keisha's starting to walk. I am really grateful because I know that was weighing heavy on you. But we already knew God was going to take care of your daughter.
I knew God was going to take care of it, so I didn't. Yeah,
all those prayers.
That stressed me out and stuff like that. I just put it in his hands, and whatever his will was for her to be, it will be, you know. But you have to come up out of that because now you're going into a depression mode. By closing up the curtains and staying in the house, that's no good.
Mm-hmm.
You're stronger than that.
You know, I'm one of those people. No, I'm going to be going back to work pretty soon.
That's for me just to say you have time to take the time to let God be all he can be. And please get some fresh air. If it's just the two of you and you're not going far, you don't even have to put the mask on.
No, because I can walk around the block. Nobody's outside, so I'm gonna walk and I am gonna get some fresh air today, and I'm gonna
get that
really
fresh
trust
air.
God.
And be blessed. Remember this. God loves you. Your husband loves you. And we love you, too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
The devil is a liar.
Praying.
So don't listen to him. The devil is a liar.
Yes,
he wants you to be defeated. He wants you to give up. He wants you to give in and try this and try that and look at this and look at... No. God is not in that.
Right.
He will lead and guide you.
And you know what? For years, that's what I used to say. I didn't want to take medicine.
You preach that all the time, that don't let the devil dupe you, and you're not paying attention to your own words.
Well,
but you know
in
what,
my mind, I'm thinking that it's not the devil. I'm thinking that I'm lacking some nutrients or something.
But that's not for you. The doctor didn't tell you that.
Exactly.
You're not a doctor. You're not a doctor.
No.
But like Evangelist is saying, we can preach it, we can read it, we can write it, but when it comes to personalizing it, sometimes that goes out the window.
There you go.
Well, Pastor Stephen told me, you can rely on God or use common sense. And, you know, because I'll go physician, heal thyself, and I'll keep waiting for God to do it. Pastor Stephen told me, God will do some, but you got to know when to use common sense, take medicine, and go see the doctor. I said, okay. So,
God helps those who help themselves.
I'm going to do it right now, and
but
I believe
saying,
in God.
And I'm not going to keep you down with it. But this week or two, please don't do anything other than what your vitamins that you're taking. You might want to even stop that. Stop taking anything.
Icy food.
Oh,
I
ain't going to have no spicy food. Trust me.
Oh, okay.
I learned my lesson with that sausage. Trust me.
Leave them.
It was a dang old breakfast sausage.
Nope. Leave them alone. They got too much of
spices
in them.
Put them down for now. It's not permanent. Just put them down for now.
Yeah, you have to
now
on a bland diet.
Really?
Thank you, guys. I love you. I appreciate everything
love
y'all share.
Love you, too.
I'm so sorry
you're feeling that way, you know, but God is awesome. Let him do what he does, okay?
You know, I used to have pastors that I would call and say, hey, this is going on. I'm like, oh, my God, what is going on? So I
you got one there with you. You got one right there with you.
I usually call pastors and ask them to pray with me.
We heard you. But you got to remember, men are weaker than women. They can't take what we could take. Okay? It's hard to hear the one that you love say to you, I don't want to come home because of what your face and everything looks like. That's you took it the wrong way. He can't take feeling it, and he feel helpless because he can't do anything to help you.
Really? You know what?
Trying to say.
Yeah, and you know what? That thing bothered me when the people at his church, at his mother's church, told them they didn't want to go see his mother. Because they didn't want to see her like that. That's crap. That woman was sick, and no one went to see her. Come on now. So
that does bother people.
Hmm?
Some people do feel that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, now you can't see her when she died. You know, that's what I was trying to tell them. Y'all need to go, even if you just go to the door and give her some flowers or something. Come on. Every one of them, when they was in a hospital, prison, whatever. A hostile duos was right there with them. Come on. But, yeah, that kind of hurt me. And I thought about Uncle Edwin. And so I prayed. And God gave me an answer this morning. I got online because I needed communion. And I needed to hear, you know, I needed some prayer. And the intercessors are praying with me as well. So I'm believing God, I'm going to be still. I'm not going to take anything, and I'm just going to let God do what he do, because I know he can do it.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm
going to
add you to our prayer list.
Thank you.
I'm going to add you to our prayer list. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
And
I love you guys.
And be encouraged.
Oh, I just want my energy to start being zapped. But maybe it's zapped because I wasn't going outside. So I'm going to go outside and start taking some walks. But I love you guys. Thank you for your prayers. Thank
love
you.
You
thank
too.
You. Thank you. Keep praying
love
for
too.
Me. Love
always.
You guys.
Don't stop.
Always.
Don't stop.
Okay. So, Sister Barbara, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Outside, bundle up because it's cold out there.
Yeah, I did have to go somewhere, but my nose has been running. I got wet yesterday. I went somewhere and I didn't have an umbrella or whatever.
Oh,
so I just woke up with sneezing and nose.
It will do it.
But I didn't realize it because I didn't feel any kind of way last night, but this morning. So, like, I was supposed to go somewhere and be there at 1, but they have a Zoom link. So, God willing, I'll Zoom it. But
that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I plan to stay home. I was going to try to walk around to Word Up, but I don't think I'm going to do that.
Okay. So,
they're celebrating Kwanzaa.
Oh,
they're celebrating Kwanzaa. Yes. It's late because it started last month and it ended. Well, it started in December and it ended last month. But because of COVID, they didn't get to do what they normally do. But I'll just, God willing, tune in. And again, we want to keep Pastor Kathy raised in prayer.
Absolutely.
She's a strong woman. And for her to feel so deflated,
like
she feels right now, you know it's taking a toll on her. And I didn't know it had been a year since she's been having that.
Yeah, she's very particular about her face and her mouth, you know.
Yeah, I know. I can imagine. But my thing is, I'm not going to be on the phone all that long, is that she needs to stop trying to help God.
Yeah.
You know, all these ideas coming from left and right and right. Leave it alone. Just leave. Stop bothering. Let them heal themselves and see what can be done. You keep putting stuff on it, that might be aggravating the healing process.
It is.
So that leave it alone.
It is. She needs to just leave everything
alone.
Brush your teeth, rinse your mouth with just warm water, and just let God have his way. That's it.
Right.
That's like with me. That's like my right leg was hurting me so bad. It's like, you know, the nerves felt like they were on fire, and the leg was aching like a And all
Sorry
I did,
to hear that.
Yeah, me too. But I lay down in my bed, and I said, God's grace is sufficient for me. And next thing I know, honey, I drifted off to sleep. Ain't thought about no pain or nothing.
All right.
Just
gotta
let go and let God have his way, you know?
You do. And again, right. That talks about the thing that's rooted in solid ground. Are you rooted in sand? Are you rooted in the rocks? Are you rooted in God?
Exactly.
Because when these things come along and you shift and you change and you die because you weren't rooted.
Yeah,
you
because
be rooted.
You can hear it in her voice. There's like she's giving up and she's second guessing herself if God called her to preach.
My
so
God.
That means she's going into a dark place.
Well, and I can't analyze it, but I just know she's not too pleased with that situation. And again,
I know.
If she's had it for over a year, that's quite depressing. You know, that's like, what is going on? What is? And like I said, if you stop trying to help God, maybe he can help you.
Yes. Sometimes, you know, the answer is right in front of us, but we're too blind to see it.
Yeah, in a hurry. Okay.
Got to take the blindness off because we want it to be done right then and there, not in God's time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to keep her in prayer.
Of course. So God willing, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm not certain about that, but I think they have a communion at my church and they want to get together in reference to the pastor that was killed.
Yeah.
But and I don't think it's going to be long, but We'll see. We'll see what the Lord says. But I think tomorrow, okay. God willing. Okay.
All right. Love you.
Love
too.
You.
Have a blessed day.
Shalom. Thank you for allowing us to.
Yes.
You still. I was just saying thank you for letting us go on and on. It's almost.
No problem.
They allow
us up to 1 o'clock. So if we go or go over, it don't matter. Because trust and believe, when it's really up, they will cut you off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Be blessed. And you bundle up too if you have to go out.
Okay.
Love you. Shalom.
Shalom.